Shout out to the two crew.
Ooh, very nice.
14. Ah, not too bad. I rolled worse.
I did not roll these dice because these were Richard's dice and they will now be retired after this. So.
Sad.
Oh, no.
They're going in the vault.
Sad.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Turning Tables. It is I, Ruben. Hello there.
Current DM.
I'm back in action, ladies and gentlemen.
He's the DM again.
I'm the DM again. Thank the gods. No, I'm actually very scared. But with me, again, is my boy, Danny.
Howdy!
And also, the super producer extraordinaire, Alex Webster.
Hi there! Got the overalls and all.
Yeah, she's full.
Full country.
Full country. Yeehaw! And this is mid-8 table break for Deepstaw.
Yes. Ah! Hell yeah. It was long. It was a long, long set of episodes.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, it was supposed to be longer.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing it.
I'm excited to...
Yeah, where do we want to start, guys?
I guess maybe just overall, world-building inspiration, for Deepstall. Like, where did you get that?
I think I sent it to you.
Yes.
I was in training for work,
mm-hmm.
and whatever Windows default picture in the background came up, it was literally a crater with, a long bridge to a city, and I sent her the picture of it, and I was like, this is what the city's gonna look like. I was like, this is it. It looks fucking cool.
You just turned around and saw that?
It was literally on my computer the first day of training. It was one of those stupid in-desk screens, so you have nowhere to write, but you have a computer right in front of you. As soon as I opened it, and I was like, pull out my phone, take a picture, put it back in my pocket.
Brain.
Yeah, brain glass.
Yeah. It's honestly, I've taken a few pictures from there that, kind of gave me that idea. I think I also got the idea for the side farm from one of those rotating screensavers. So, yeah, man, look at your computers. So we knew this was going to be based off of Greed. So I got to play a lot of different flavors of Rogue, which was really fun. I didn't play a monk that much on yours because it was a two shot. So I didn't get to do too many monk things. But playing with Blaze was really fun because I got to change his flavor of monk a little bit to make him evil or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have level all of level 3. Open in front of me right now.
Well, he can answer our lore question.
I'm ready. I believe it is 16 pages long.
Oh, shit.
Lore?
Of just, things that had happened.
Oh.
But the only three notes I have is Lord Roblin, Goblin Rogue, and then I put, different types of rogue that I wanted to play with, before I decided what he was going to be. Blaze, Wood Elf, Shadow Monk, ? And then Dead Man's Party Trap. that one I had before I even knew what the city was going to look like. It was going to happen.
You just had the idea of somebody playing Dead Man's Party?
I have no idea why. It just made me laugh a lot. I was like, I'm going to throw it in there.
That's fucking fantastic.
Did you ever say what subclass Roblin was?
Roblin, I believe, ended up being a mix of Arcane Trickster and Swashbuckler.
Yeah, because his sneak attack was fucking...
It was very high.
Very high.
They were both at least level 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
At least. I don't have their character sheets open in front of me.
When Zarius took the initial hit, I was just like, I got this. And then that sneak attack hit, and I was just like, I don't fucking got this.
Yeah, Roblin's sneak attack put me less than half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was already
that first time he hit you, I literally just got done editing that stuff.
Yeah.
I was just like... Oh my god. I forgot how big that hit was. I think it was 36.
Yeah, and that was
Did you have any D6s? We were all just panic!
I just grabbed all of them that I had and just...
And I was the squishiest guy, so after that I was I am already bloodied. Even with the temporary hit points, I took half my health.
I think that's why I really like playing with that, flavor of, hybrid rogue, where, he's still rogue, but different levels of different flavors.
Yeah.
So, he... the sneak attack never went down because he took extra levels in something else. The sneak attack stays constant.
The sneak attack reigns supreme.
And Blaze had
burrito supreme
a few levels of rogue too, so he had some sneak attack.
Oh, so he was a multi-class. I was wondering.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have a question. What was your influence for Shabob and Sam?
I actually have a question about this too.
What was it? Hold on. I'm like literally again. I'm looking back at this so I can find
Shabob and Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought the dynamic was cool. Like male orc, woman, werewolf.
Yeah.
Like match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea why I did that. I just thought it. I thought. Okay, orc, like, the male orc, and I was like, cool. I need an equally intimidating female character. And I was like, changeling, but usually stays in werewolf form because she's, like, also a bouncer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know, I thought that idea was kind of funny, but also, like, to keep Elias or Siegfried from trying to fuck with the bartenders.
Yeah.
I was like, let me make these bigger than they need to be, just because... I don't think anybody else in the party is going to do anything to these people.
Just to keep the big boys from being big boys?
Yeah.
So, my question related to this, I don't know if they're going to be the answer to this, but who was your favorite NPC on this level?
Ooh. Oh, man. I don't know. Who was my favorite?
Jerry.
God damn it. All 1 minute of Jerry.
I guess this could also apply to Ruben.
Oh, yeah. I'll let him go first.
Yeah.
I do think I really like playing Roblin, just because he was a fucker and like
he was.
I genuinely think he has the mentality of like they're gonna love this idea of me taking a Mon's place because why wouldn't they want me around? Like, he's completely like does not read people correctly. Like he just assumes you guys are all about his plan, and I think I wanted to give the idea of, like, he hasn't heard no in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it tripped him out when you guys were like, why would we want that? It's just, like, genuinely confused.
Yeah, who are you?
And offended.
It was very Joe Pesci, like, Goodfellas feel. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna go with you instead. Like, wait, ooh. What?
I caught it. Hold on. Go ahead.
Let's see. On a serious note, I really like Shabob and Sam's dynamic. That's why I brought him up. I don't know. Just the kind of, like... do whatever you want, just don't fuck up my bar. It was pretty cool. And then, on a less serious note, I like the two guys who are playing duel monsters in the casino. I was like, yes!
Because you brought up Children's Card Game.
Did you do that on the fly?
Yeah. Almost. The whole casino scene was on the fly. You guys got through the farm like shenanigan pretty quickly. And I keep forgetting that fucking Elias can smite, and most evil things I throw at him have vulnerabilities to radiant damage, and so I'm like, fuck, he has all his spell slots.
Yeah.
So,
Elias, that fight went in, so oh like...
Oh god, he went off. But yeah, most of that, that casino thing was just, like, all the games pulled out of my ass. I had no idea how I was gonna do... fucking Yu-Gi-Oh. I was genuinely scared. I was like,
here's the thing, is I didn't want to play Yu-Gi-Oh, so thank God. I was just like, how can I distract from this because I don't want to play Yu-Gi-Oh.
I play Yu-Gi-Oh in real life. I wanted to play Yu-Gi-Oh.
It was just so, I've been thinking about it since. No idea how I would have done that. At all.
Just say if you bricked or not. You're playing a Blue Eyes deck. You pulled all three Blue Eyes. You bricked, bro. Like... This is not Duelist Kingdom, for those nerds who know.
Yeah. Not...
Alex is like, not me.
Not me. Not my favorite NPC, but I also want to shout out Other Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Sam and Other Sam.
Just so everybody knows, Ruben knew of Other Sam. Other Sam's one of my old... my first wizard I ever made. And he did get left behind in a hellscape. But the idea of him, like, changing personalities was a thing that we had come up with. Because very true. Like, one of our other PCs just kept throwing his hammer at him, and he kept hitting him in the head.
I made the mistake of giving him a flying hammer very early. And I told him, like, this is before we came up with the variable, not one rule, but... I told him, like, you, like, the very instance was that the guy was 5 feet from him, and Sam was on the exact opposite side. Mm. And he's like, can I throw the hammer? I'm like, well, you're right next to him, so you're going to have disadvantage with a range attack. You could just hit him. He's like, no, I want to throw it because it looks cool. I was like, go ahead, have at it. Disadvantage, natural one, clock Sam right in the face.
And it was like max damage. It was,
yeah,
I was
hit
so
him
mad.
Hard.
So, and then like, I think the first time I like reacted in character as Sam for that campaign, I was like, okay, fireball. And
yeah.
He's like, there's three people there. And I was like, I said fireball.
Yeah, he got actually mad. And I think we floated the idea after, like, what if Sam, like, every time he took a brutal hit, changed personalities, and his actual spell list changed.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I have
yeah.
two different spell lists for Sam. One, like, normal Sam is very helpful, and, like, he does have some damage spells, but the other one is, like, it's all pain. Like, nothing helps. It's just...
just suffering.
Dealing the damage.
Just very much, it's wizard time, motherfucker! It's fireball!
Just turns into taco?
Yeah.
Africa, fuck you!
Not magic, Brian.
I will say, when you guys first got there, and I had, and Alex rolled the d4, and you got a 1. If you got a 2, it was going to be a bone claw. If you got a 3, I was going to have you roll 2d6s, and that's how many giant dire wolves were going to be on the bridge.
Nice.
And a 4, you guys would have seen, like, Shadow Amon, and I would have had to work that into the story in some way, shape, or form.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was gonna be weird.
Just Dark Link Amon.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, I don't know. But that's where, like, we ended the
session,
like,
before.
The intro to Deep Solidarity. So I was like, cool, I can do that. And as soon as I know what she rolls, I can write more.
Ah, that's it. That was tricky.
I forgot to do this at the top, but if I keep coughing, I apologize. It's because me and Alex went to a Fall Out Boy concert this last weekend, and my voice is still recovering, so I am coughing a lot. But
Suspicious.
What? No, what?
He went back to the bar.
Hell no.
He turned around.
I
fell asleep in the car, but when I woke up, we were in Irvine, so.
Oh, yeah, I went straight home.
He drove very fast.
I tried to get away from San Diego.
God damn it.
Tell the people, Alex. Tell people what happened.
Oh, you want the
give them a short version.
Not the full story.
The cliff notes is poor Ruben learned the meaning of being a woman and not someone not taking no for an answer.
I've never felt so desired and not good in my life.
No, poor Ruben. There was at one point a perfectly pleasant person next to us, and then she became very not pleasant.
Just,
and couldn't take no for an answer.
Just aggressive from the story. Just completely just, out of pocket.
Anyways, enough of our nonsense. I want to know what would have happened if we... The first tunnel we went through to get to the back of the keep at Roblin's, and before teleported, would it have been like the same thing when we had ran into Willie and them?
I honestly would have, because so if you guys got to that one first, I would have rolled just a d20,
mm-hmm.
and if it was 10 or lower, it would have been running into Willie and those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
11 and higher, it would have just been an empty office. Same style room, like, both sides were going to be about the same with the same shit in it. Just whether he was there or not was going to be on the D20. But since you guys couldn't go back there,
right.
I was like, well, now they're going to run to Willie because that was the lower roll.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate universe, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it. But then also, if that would have, like, let's say you guys did make it through, you missed the Willie encounter. I would have made Willie appear again at some point because I feel like, well, I wanted Siegfried to have something to, like, build some of his character stuff because, again, we've seen the backstory, so we're trying to write in some of their things. But, yeah, so at some point, there was going to be a Willie encounter. It was just, do you have it before or during the Roblin fight?
Right. Willie just shows up in the middle of the Roblin fight. That might have been rough.
That could have, because it would have pulled Siegfried away.
Yeah, Siegfried definitely would have
recalibrated.
Yeah, Like, I wouldn't blame them, but still would be like, now we're like 1v1, wanting everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would have been, way worse of a fight. You mentioned at the end of the session, I think when we weren't recording, but because of how we, like, kind of pulled everyone apart, it made it a little bit easier that final boss fight.
Yeah. Because Elias stayed pretty far away for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I expected Richard to stay far away, but, like, Sam helped Elias. I think
Siegfried
fucked up Vera.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Vera was going to get hurt like that fast. And the Displacer Beast chomp on Roblin fucked him up, too. And I think he got hit by Siegfried a few times.
Yeah, before I got him my way, yeah.
Yeah, Siegfried going apps, hard I like think. That. Yeah.
Something like that. We were a well-oiled machine on that fight.
Yeah.
The last two, actually, I think we were pretty... Well, besides the very last one with the unicorn and everything, that was kind of weird. But, like, between the Willy fight and the Roblin fight, like, we were, like... in the zone.
Yeah. We're becoming
the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
You guys had figured it out, but my plan was what they were going to do was I gave Roblin and Blaze a certain amount of teleports / invisibilities.
Mm.
So they'd be able to disappear, appear behind someone, and then get a sneak attack.
Mm.
So they wouldn't have to hit you a lot. They just had to hit you.
Right.
And it would have been real... I think it was 66s. Roblin's rapier's still rapier, but
mm-hmm.
Depending on how Blaze hit you, it could have been 10d6s. Yeah. He had a lot of punches.
How he hit you.
Yeah.
He just boop you in the head.
And then if he fucking critted, it would have just been like, hold on, just for fun.
Do some math.
20d6.
20d6?
If he critted, it would have been 78 points of damage.
I would have been out.
I would have been dead.
Yeah,
or at least out.
Yeah,
but I think again, like his thing, because I mean, nobody really talked to him, but also he didn't really want to talk to people.
Right.
His thing was just attack, and I think if you guys kind of bullied Roblin a little bit and like didn't kill him right away, but like kind of just hit him to zero, like non-lethal, and held him back, I think he would have like called to Blaze for help, and instead of like normal Governor Volstrecker, he would have ignored and kept fighting with Elias.
So we would have been able to see a little bit more of their dynamic.
Yeah,
because at the end of that fight, he wasn't hesitant at all of trying to become the governor.
He just took it.
No, I really like that bit. He was just like, oh, Rowland's dead? Fucking, look at me. I'm the governor now.
No, I do like it because it seemed like, you know, up until this point, well, let's see, we had Randall and Brutus, and Brutus is very much machine, like, just did what it was told. And then you had Polly and, I'm blanking, I'm sorry. It's been a while.
Azura.
I knew it was something with the A. I was gonna say Azula, but that's Avatar. Azura. That was very much more of a kinship.
Yeah.
This was definitely just business.
Yeah.
Also, I imagine Blaze being like beefier than a wood elf. I think because of his voice.
Well, yeah, I wanted it to be like weird. That this wood elf, like, because you never think of elves as like jacked, but I like that idea of like, I wanted to paint that Dragon Ball Z feel where like Goku and Vegeta in like very base form, they're muscular and they're toned, but they're not huge until they power up.
I definitely thought of Blaze as like a slicked back Vegeta.
Yeah,
that's definitely what I saw when I saw him. This blue leotard with the boots, not the white gloves because those are kind of comical to me, but like the blue leotard with the white boots, just Vegeta.
Yeah,
the Prince of all Saiyans.
He was definitely not there to be friends with anybody.
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't fucking act like
it. Yeah, he definitely wasn't friendly.
Oh man, I'm so excited for the next level. Who we're getting next?
You'll just have to wait and see.
No, I don't remember who we're getting next. That's why I'm so excited. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
See, fuck. We're learning just like you.
Yeah, we have
your DMs are dumb.
We have very basic ideas of what's happening.
This is the royal we. I'm quite intelligent. No, I don't know what I'm doing either. Who's got the next question?
Where did you come up with the armor Amon and Sam are wearing, and what were like its stats specifically?
Amon and Sam? Oh, the
chains? Helmet. Yeah.
I don't remember where I came up with those, and I ran a test run of those on you guys in our like our for fun campaign,
our homebrew campaign, yeah. or our home game,
or shenanigans,
our homebrew, yeah. Everything campaign,
our home everything.
Yeah, I ran like a test of that on you guys, and seeing how that group handled it is different than how this group handled it, and I liked the idea of kind of weakening somebody right before a boss fight.
Yeah.
Because it makes people panic. And it just so happened that fucking Siegfried happened to roll wisdom, so he didn't really lose much. But, like, the idea was they touch it with anything. Hands, a weapon, have them roll a d6, and the d6 goes to their hard stats. So, one all the way to the bottom, like, as assigned. Whatever they get, you roll a d4 and you subtract it from their modifier. But like, if he rolled a 1, it would have been strength. He rolls a 4, suddenly his strength's at 1 now, and he can't swing as much. Or I mean, the swings come, but they're not as hard.
Yeah, it would have been a bad day.
Siegfried's bad day.
Yeah, Siegfried's bad day.
He lost a finger. Oh my god! Oh, we were just talking too on Horrible People's podcast, literally the day before.
Yeah, we recorded it beforehand, but yeah.
No, but like the day before we even recorded the last
episode.
Yeah, somebody made a joke like
Anthony did.
Yeah, oh, they were like, keep all your fingers about turning tables, and Anthony goes, well, they all have them all, and Anthony goes, for now. And I was like, no! Like, as I was listening to it, I texted Alex, and I was like, he predicted it!
So, James, when you hear this, Anthony predicted that Siegfried would lose a finger.
He did it to you.
He did it. Hit him.
Hold him accountable.
Yeah. Man, I cannot believe he nat one twice in a row.
That's the second double nat one.
Yeah.
At first it was me in the box Electric Boogaloo. Uh-huh. And now the man lost a finger.
Oh yeah, let's talk about all the fucking nat ones.
It was a nat one heavy arc.
That was a lot of nat ones.
Like in that particular, yeah, holy shit.
Like nat one, the Richard nat one in the stealth. What was it? What else was it?
Everyone got a nat one. I think.
At a pivotal moment, I think. Yeah. Everyone got like
Zarya's
a big nat one.
Zarya's got a nat one. At one point, because Zarya's really wanted to take out Vera.
Yeah.
And Vera was holding on by a fucking thread and rolled a goddamn nat one.
Oh, yeah, because he had jacked her daggers, right?
Yeah.
So she was out for blood.
Yeah. That's the one thing I will say for this level. I think Zarya's is becoming a lot more comfortable in, like, being a weird frontline druid.
Well, you were stacked too. He was Tank Zarya's for the last part.
You know, she was Blast, Tempt, fucking Bardic. She had all that. She had it all.
No, she was out for blood, but and then also had, at any point could have just turned into an animal and immediately had 70 mold. new 70 hit points. But no, she, yeah. That was another thing that I wanted to bring up. So Danny asked all of us fun questions.
Yee.
And one of the questions was, what would you do if someone took those daggers?
Yeah.
And Zarya's was like, swiftly and without hesitation, murder.
No, that's how she responded. And I think she kind of knew, because again, they both knew the type of PC or NPCs they were going to run into in this level. That they were going to be, you know, liars, they're going to be thieves, just randoms that had no names were going to, like, be an issue. And I think Alex in the back of her head knew at any point she could have been robbed. And I was like,
it was a possibility for me, but honestly, I forgot.
Oh, you did?
Until you were just like, your daggers are gone. And I was just like, no.
I was trying to figure out where I could make it fit where it would matter, and I was like, oh, yeah. Vera's taking off.
But no, that's where her fucking that one came in, is she was trying to kill his ass and fucking got a nat one.
I think the one I didn't really work in, because I just couldn't find a way to do it without making it like just mean, mm-hmm. was Richard's. His like specific question was, how would he react if somebody just blatantly disrespected his uniform? And I wasn't sure if it was going to be like they try to tear it or like set it on fire or just talk shit in general. But I was like, there's no way I do it without sounding like a complete monster. And like, I could have, but I don't think it would have helped. Like, it would have just been mean to be mean.
Well, I mean, I think it would have been more of a, you know, I think it would have been a good character moment for Richard. Like, he would just become more uncouth. Like, at that point, the only time he's ever gone kind of aggressive or imposing was the first encounter with Elias.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like it would have been more like, you know, again, full dad, like, super just angry, like, nose flare, fucking the downward look, freaking full dad energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why that reminded me of when Elias, I think I really like when the entire table in general, we say we want to do something and then we say what role we're going to be doing for it and it's the wrong one, or like we didn't mean it, but like specific, the one I'm thinking of is when Connor says, I'm going to roll intimidation, but he was just genuinely offering them 100 gold each. But he said intimidation, and I was like, oh my god, you're going to scare these people into doing something.
He said 100 helped. Pieces. That man did not mean 100 pieces. He said 100 reasons. Intimidation.
As soon as I was like,
shut up, take my money.
you helped him, and then I was like, oh no.
My role was to support. I saw a man trying to get something done. I was like, alright, here we go.
Well, what was funny about that particular moment is like it the way the tides were turning is it looked like they were going to do it anyway. Like, it wasn't necessary. Like, it was just like, hey man, move out of my way. And they're like, okay. And it's just like, I'll give you $100 to move the fuck out of my way.
And then I love it because after we got fucked up, Azaris became a super upset mom.
And you helped him!
Yeah, she did. She totally did that to Richard. And you helped him! Definitely mom yelling at dad. Like, you just let him do this?
Like, I loved that moment.
That was so funny. Because
he was, like, so unhinged and so ridiculous. And Azaris was just like, I know exactly how this is gonna go. And it went exactly how she thought it was gonna go. And she was just like, no. You're not gonna, I can't keep letting you get away with this. Fuck you, especially fuck you. You know better.
You can't keep doing this.
Oh man, that was really cathartic for me too. Like, I was
like, I'm glad we're looking through things.
Alex the player and Zaris the character for a moment.
We're one person.
We're one person.
She got to come out and yell at the players at the table.
The fourth wall was broken and it was just like, no, we're both the same person right now.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that was a good character. Also, I thought like Richard and Siegfried were like really on the same level this whole level also.
Oh yeah,
just being like old dad wanting to gamble and drink and do stupid shit.
Just the older dudes wanting to fuck around.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Elias finally delving into the world of debauchery in this
full
level.
Alcoholic.
Just fucking a tankard of wine, which sounds
terrifying.
Oh, so bad. Scary.
It's like a Stella Rosa, it'd be alright.
It's boxed wine.
Oh god, that makes it worse.
Oh yeah, the hangover is like three times as bad.
It's so sugary, yeah.
It's like visibly
that's
cringing.
Just gross. Oh, one of the questions I remember Alex asking me when I was like, I gave her a basic lowdown of the dreams I gave you guys. I didn't tell her hers or yours specifically, but I was telling her about what I was going to do to Elias and Siegfried. And she goes, what if Elias just says okay and just takes the position? And I was like, well, then we have another fucking problem we're going to have to deal with. And I was like, we, the DMs, but also we, the table. Because, and I was like, I don't think he's going to. He could. There was always the option.
Well, he had. I didn't want to bring it up because obviously I would have been metagaming because I didn't know because Elias didn't tell anyone. But I was like, the band was there. He could have taken it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, you know, then it would have been a hard stop that episode.
Oh, when we would have had to stop right there. Like, we would have had an hour left. I'm like, nope. I need to write something now. I need to talk to him for 2 hours about what the fuck we're doing about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always those what ifs, but what if he said yes?
Well, we talked about this in for my level two, where like you guys were like, what if we had done this unhinged shit?
Yeah.
It's always the what ifs.
And that's the thing, too. Let me, if I can find it, I will pull up. My like own personal map of Deepstall, just because I had a basic layout. I want to know.
Can you show me?
Okay.
The strangers like me.
I wanna know.
And then, honestly, this was a very basic map layout. Like there was only a few buildings of like importance, but you guys never went to the general store.
No. The projects.
Three other decent looking living buildings and then two straight up project looking ones. You did go to the one that
we were on a fucking mission, man.
You guys did go to the project that Victor was living in. Yeah. But
only because he flew out the window in front of us.
Yeah, and there was a silence fucking spell involved.
That leads me to the next question. Again, for those at home, like we have all agreed that the Mesa Marauders exist here. Like that's just the name we use. But were there Mesa Marauders on 3?
I think if you guys had gone to like look through where Victor had said they,
I know we never did that. Yeah,
I would have like. I think I would have left clues to see if they are around. And, like, because that episode ended, I think, when you guys went to the tavern and
went
to
bed.
Yeah. So, like, that's where that's where that episode ended. But, like, I didn't think you guys were going to go in that same day.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, if they go back, I want to... I basically made, like, a treasure hunt kind of thing or, like, a scavenger hunt where you would have had to, like, look for them, and I was gonna sprinkle like a few people, nobody of importance.
Da Vinci's Code.
Yeah,
I was gonna. That was another one of my questions. Was like, were there things that like you had planned for us to do, and we just didn't take the bait for?
Super. Like again, if you guys went to the store, I had like a list of things that like maybe you would have cared about or maybe not. Like it wasn't a full plan,
mm-hmm.
but like if they go here. This can happen depending on what they do or look for.
The shenanigans that are afoot.
Yeah.
Hmm. I had a question, actually, speaking of Victor. Can you talk a little bit about the choice to include Victor's and or include Curse of Strahd lore
into Lamont's backstory? I don't think we haven't talked about this, right?
No. Maybe in passing, that we haven't touched a lot on it.
So Amon is my very first D&D character I ever made. This is a different version of him, anyway. And the way that story ended without like spoiling Curse of Strahd or anything, or because Alex is also playing Curse of Strahd, we don't want to ruin it for
or anyone else who may be playing and listening. Yeah.
The way that ended for Amon, it wasn't bad, but he stayed behind. And Ruben and I had always like had the idea of redoing Curse of Strahd, but it was going to be Curse of Amon, and it was going to be either me playing the big bad or a new flavor of that. Like we were trying to figure out the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
But the way we wrote this was, I was like, this is years after that happened to him. Like he died at some point. And since Victor's a human, it would make sense that Victor died.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just of old age. Like I'm not even going to say his like death was, violent or anything, but like I think that in there kind of helped, and him helping Amon like with his memory thing is just building for him without having to play him the entire time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I anyone who's listening, like, for, like, the last episode, there's a mention of Barovia, so anyone would just be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was a good, it's a good tie-in for, like, our world into the overarching dichotomy of Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's fun, too, because, like, depending on how we want to do this, like, if all these characters survive and make it out...
Oops, sorry.
I think our idea is... Or an idea is they go back to where they died.
Mm-hmm.
Amon's going back to Barovia.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a whole different kind of worms for him. And, like... I think that's going to be fun to play with when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do like the idea of Victor being here because Amon and Victor did kind of get along in our, like, version of it, too. Mm-hmm. So... Of all the NPCs that... Because Ruben DM'd that. Of all the NPCs that, like, played with us, I was like, the one that makes the most sense to me to bring back that would have all the memories because they were very helpful, but they didn't die in battle or nothing bad happened to them, was Victor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I enjoyed bringing him back.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, I got a personal question. How did you guys like the character Richard? What did you not like about him? What did you do like about him? I need a feedback loop here.
I like that that's just like, please tell me what you feel about the extension of myself in Captain
this world. I will take it offensive. No, I'm kidding. No, I want honest opinions because, like, you know, this is the first time I don't get to play characters very often because, like, you know, up until this point, I have been, like, the forever DM. Mm-hmm. So I do want... honest feedback. Like, I put myself out there.
I'll go first. I personally really liked Richard, and I think, like, Richard as a character was very helpful. He was very fun, obviously. Like, we enjoyed a lot of, like, those moments where it was, like, in Carnalia, where it was just boys being idiots. Like, mm-hmm. Those moments made it a lot of fun. But also, like, the way he interacted with the characters, I think it helped build a lot of the way they work, too. The way they work with each other. I think it helped, I think he really helped Elias kind of, like, as a character, chill out a little bit. I don't think he's as serious as he was. I do think it's still there, right. But he's kind of more open-minded to working with other people and, like, trying to be a problem solver without causing a problem. I do think he also helped, like, Siegfried kind of assume a leadership role in some moments where, like, he kind of just made a decision and, like, explained it to the table, and the table was like, hey, you know what, that's not a bad idea, and they, like, went with it. Or, like, it was more teamwork. I think he helped the team work as a team.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that Richard created, like, an environment that was, like, perfect for roleplay.
Mm-hmm.
In the last two levels. I think that has more to do with you as just, like, your strength of playing a character than also just, like, Richard as a character. I think you did a great job with that.
Thank you.
I'm not just blowing smoke up your
ass. Yeah, no, like, that was something bad, too. The accent was terrible.
No, I thought the accent was fun. It added something different. Like, it was cool. No, I almost, like, I wish that there had been, we had, like, more time to, like, delve into his backstory. Like, I wish we had more opportunity to, like...
That might have been my one critique against myself, as I may have made a character with too rich of a backstory, knowing that I wasn't going to be able to flesh it out as much as I wanted.
I think that's the thing, you know, from my standpoint, too, because, like, I knew his whole backstory going into it.
Right.
Well, not all of it, but I knew, like, that there was a lot there.
The big points,
I knew, like, all the big points, and I knew that, like, we didn't really get the chance to, like, dive into it. Like, I knew, and I wish that I had gotten the opportunity to see Richard be, like, more of a dad to all the characters.
Because
we didn't really get to see him be like that with, like, Amon necessarily.
Yeah, we didn't get that with Amon, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, like, stuff like that. But I think that's more of just, like, a pacing issue than necessarily a you issue.
Right.
So, great job.
Thanks.
I was Alex and I were talking too about, like, whenever we do take over again, we're gonna try to not keep our characters out of the levels we're DMing.
Oh yeah, we were talking. Yeah,
and literally that was also on a Richard on a topic, that was one of the hardest parts about doing his death. Everybody was talking to him, and I didn't want to cut anybody off because I felt like, because I was still DMing. So I felt like if I spoke, you guys would have heard me as the DM instead of as the character.
Yeah.
And I was like, just shut up. Like, just be quiet. Because, like, aww, everything was going on well. And so I was like, all right, I'll, like, throw in. And we're sad, like, at the end. But, like, I really liked the way that worked out. But it was a good, like, way for me as the DM to be like, oh, shit. Okay, so, like, I need to figure out how to put myself into these conversations or these moments that are, like, serious or, like, planning or things like that without being the DM.
Right.
So that's going to be, I think, just for me personally, the tough part about doing it next time.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, even the one session where Zaris was in Carnalia, or, like, was, like, present, like, I was still just, like, it's, like, juggling. Like, yeah, there's so much where it's, yeah, just, like, and Zaris is also doing this. Like, Zaris is also there. Like, just making sure that our characters are present. But, yeah, we talked about that, about, like, yada yadding away our characters for the level. I think it was good for our first go around, but I think for the second, like our next go around, yeah, I think it's important for the storyline to keep the group, mm-hmm, together.
Right, and especially now that the plot's going to be thickening up a little bit.
Yeah,
it does make sense to keep everyone together. Obviously, you know, it's very hard to juggle your DM character v your actual NPCs, but I think, you know, it's going to have to learn as we go kind of thing.
Well, I think that's one of the things I just need to learn to do as a DM is, like, let my NPCs just be NPCs and not make them, like, characters you want to play.
Part of your extension of your character.
Because I think I did that a lot in Carnalia. Like, all of my characters, like, had, like, full-blown character sheets, and I was just, yeah, like, you have a backstory.
Well, to talk about that, I don't know if it comes across, but, like, a lot of people who play Dungeons & Dragons, or even those who don't, like, you know, we're see it how you want to see it, but we're creating something. We're creating a story. The Azura and freaking Polly did not exist until you thought them into existence.
Yeah.
So, like, even though they're these mythical figments of imagination, you know, they mean something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, like, oh, I can feel so attached to a character that doesn't exist.
I want to bring Polly into, like, a one-shot at some point. Like,
absolutely.
Polly's so fucking cool, and, like, I didn't get to do much with her, but, yeah, she's really cool. Also, I've never played a wizard before, so...
Yeah, wizards are fun, but scary.
But then forever, like, especially now that Richard's gone, like, there's nothing stopping me from, you know,
using him anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a character, and he's now, you know, after playing for a while, especially in a campaign that was so roleplay heavy, this character is near and dear to my heart now. Like, you know, there is, like you said, to what Alex said, there is a fragment of your own personality in that character. Obviously, it's you thought him up, so, you know, it was also kind of sad, you know, like, we planned in the beginning for him to, for those who know, now, we planned for Richard to die.
He was marked for death from the beginning.
Yeah, but it was still, like, you know, not that a part of me specifically died, but now, like, that part, it's gone. So it's,
well,
like,
and also, we planned for him to die. Neither of them knew how he was gonna die.
Right, Danny planned
it. No, I didn't know, and I was just like, "What the fuck?"
I was gonna originally plan on him dying in the boss fight.
Yeah,
and then I was like, "Well, then Ruben would be sitting here silent for the next 20 minutes while we deal with this ascension." So I was like, "No, I have to change
that's
that."
A good nap time. I would have slept over
there. He would have gotten up.
You guys hear that snoring in the background?
I absolutely would have. You hear a grumbling of a monster off in the distance, just Ruben.
That's the mic right up to you. Yeah, so I came up with the changing stairs. One thing that nobody did was look at the suns specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Every sun had script in it. Hold on, I want to get this right, because I wrote it down on what the suns said.
Well, we're still there.
Well, no, the wall changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it changed from the wall to stairs.
God, wizards are so squishy. I'm looking at Madame Polly's fucking character sheet, because we were talking about her, and I just pulled her up just for shits and giggles. Level 8, 34 hit points.
Yeah. Nice.
Very squish.
Even Richard had more hit points than that.
Every sun said, present the light.
Present the light.
You are the light, Richard.
The light of your lives.
The light of the group. What are we going to do now?
We're in the darkness. Darkness. Yeah, present the light. Present heart. We can find a quick one sample to throw in.
Right.
God damn it. I'm looking back at my notes, and it's like the description of you guys walking up to the carriage, and then my next bullet point in all caps, use Marcus book.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the book that I used for that, the Demon black Demon? Metal
yeah.
carriage is called Roads and Ruins. It's a book of quarter shots from Deck and Dice. From Alex's stepfather, Marcus.
Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Marcus.
It says zero prep side quests for any fantasy RPG.
And it's true. The book is really cool. It has these little tabs on the side that you can just, like, flip through. And, like, let's say you want, like, a moral quandary or something. You can just flip open and, like, it's just something to kill time and you're, like, zero prep required.
And the only thing that you really need, and it's a soft recommendation because, again, you don't need to prep anything, is at the very bottom, it'll have NPCs and it'll say, like, oh, this thing is equivalent to this in the monster manual. And which, so, like,
super handy, by the way.
So okay, I just turned to one right now, and it's like two NPCs down here. Worker, kobold. Irritated, disgruntled, jumpy after days of cruelty. Kobold. Monster Manual 195.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. He gives you exactly what they're supposed to be like.
Yeah, I would say that's the hardest part about NPCs. It's like, you have to develop small personalities real quick, and that's a clear, like, hey, this is how this guy's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that book. There were a few that I was going to use from there, but I really liked the black metal carriage. It was
It was definitely enough to keep us occupied for a little bit. Like,
well, I wasn't sure how long it was going to go. Like, I was like, are we going to have to kill this guy? Like, I was like, because there was some shit that, like, I was prepared to do.
The same. I but just turned I didn't into want, a little dandelion.
I didn't want to waste my spell slots.
Yeah, you know, I think I said at the end of the episode, or maybe after we were recording, I did change a few things that Marcus had put in there, just to make it slightly more dangerous, but also, like, change where the danger lies, because the way Marcus had written, there were some things that I was like, okay, I think the guy in the cart, he's supposed to be, the voice claims to be somebody from the next town of importance, and I was like, I don't know the name of the next town, and even if they if they came through and they said, you know, I'm the governor of this place, they don't fucking know what that governor looks like. So that I feel like our players would have been like,
who gives a fuck?
Yeah, right. I flip him off and walk away.
Who the fuck are you?
I love that this appealed to Siegfried's love of animals.
Like, oh my god, I wasn't ready for him to be no, the unicorn.
Yeah.
And this is also like the third time Zoras has been like, this is a trap. Can we please leave?
Again, this is why Zarius is the voice of reason for the group. Like, this is not a good idea, but there's a horse.
The horse, he's in trouble.
That pony.
Yeah, Siegfried's worried about the horse. Richard's worried about Siegfried. Elias is like, there's a fight here, I know it. And Zarius is like, let's go.
Can we please just walk
home? Can
we just keep walking? It's fine. Like, the horse told us to go.
And you helped him.
I know, the next episode, Zarius is going to be like, I feel bad for yelling at him. He deserved it, though.
At Richard?
Not for yelling at him so much. He was wrong still, but...
It doesn't mean he didn't deserve being yelled at, but whatever.
I'm still right.
Yeah.
But...
Is it my turn for questions?
You have any more questions?
I have one more.
Okay.
Love it.
So, in our home games, Danny, you build a lot of encounters with popular pop culture references.
Uh-huh.
Were any NPCs or villains inspired by any characters from pop culture?
So... Blaze was definitely the idea of Majin Vegeta.
Mm-hmm. Majin Vegeta.
Or the idea of, like, he took the governor power, he took the Majin power, knowing it's not the best look,
yeah.
or like, but he knew it was a power boost, mm. and that's what it was about. It was about power for him. Let me see, who else? Roblin?
What's wrong, Kakarot? Well,
they kept saying King John from fucking...
Yeah, and I wasn't like, I didn't mean to do that until I like described the crown, and I was like, God damn it.
James brought it up.
Yeah. And I was like, God, he's the fucking tiger with the stupid crown that doesn't fit him. And so I just kind of like, all right, well, screw it. We're going to deal with that. Let's see. Who else did you guys meet? Willy was, he was more of a, like Captain Barbossa,
mm.
but kind of, like, a less honorable one, because, like, even in, like, Curse of the Black Pearl, like, Barbossa's a pirate, but, like,
yeah.
he's still, like, kind of honorable about it, and, like, yeah, he owns up to his shit.
By the pirate code, yeah. yeah.
But, like, Willy was very, like, out for his own, like, so he was almost, one of the British from that, or one of the East India Trading Company, but also pirate. Like, he was kind of a two-faced asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So, Barbossa, yeah, it's pretty on brand.
Yeah, no, like, I think Barbossa wouldn't have, like, lied at first. Like, he would have just been straight up and, like, told them, hey, it's business and deal with it. But also,
okay, yeah, I see.
I think Willy was, like, a little bit squishier. He did have some, like, fuckeries and shenanigans, but, like, it wasn't too much. See, Shabam and Sam were just something random.
Those were just random?
Yeah.
I love it. I love
really?
I love freestyle fucking just...
Because I had the names, I just didn't know how they were going to be.
So you didn't know until after we, like,
you, yeah,
introduced
you encountered them.
That's kind of... Yeah.
I love that.
Well, I think the idea of, like... The first time you start, you cast Tongues, and you're talking to her in her werewolf language, and, like, Elias's face just, like, what the hell? And you guys at the other end of the bar are like, that's normal.
Literally, just the two parents are just like, understandable how
that
is.
That was a good moment. He's like, what did you say to her? He's just like, what is its name? It's Sam, and it's a her, yes.
He's like... Where did you get Sam and all that?
Yeah. That was a good roleplay moment.
Vale's whole attitude was like he's a very cheap thief. Like
yeah.
he is talented. I think like he was kind of that guy who he does card tricks or he has a talent,
mm-hmm.
but while he's doing that he takes your wallet.
Right, very
so that was like yeah, his whole vibe. Very like basic Ocean's 11 without being like great at it, because I mean he just did it in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. That's not an NPC. That's Zaris. I was like, who's that?
Zaris is inspired by no.
Hello there, angels of my nightmare.
Yes.
Gary and Jerry were just randoms. I think that's like a name that you and I go to a lot, Ruben. Where like. Something happens to a random NPC, and they happen to have a friend around.
Yeah,
and like, what are you doing to Jerry?
I think the
Jerry!
I think I remember the initial encounter back in the day when me and Danny started playing together. In the beginning, we had ran the one shot for Rick and Morty.
Oh,
yeah.
There was a room of five goblins. In which every one of their names was a different version of Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about this.
But I think I mispronounced one time and called him Gary. And now, yeah, after that, every time we need a duo of NPCs, it's just uh-huh. Jerry and Gary.
Yeah. I think most of the guards you guys encountered, I would like decide in that moment, like, do these people really care about their jobs or like?
I loved that, by the way, where you were just like, it's a city full of rogues, and it's just like, do these people give a fuck about their jobs? Yes or no?
You
like,
know what? That's a very distinct part of Danny's DM style, which I actually really like. It adds a little variation. It's like, yo, how many times do we bitch about our jobs on the daily? Like, not everyone cares that much about their job.
Not everyone's that fucking serious
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, every time you see a guard, not every guard's like, hey, fucking super, you know, about their job. Sometimes it's a dude who has to be there because he has to be there. I don't care, dude. 20 gold? Sure, I didn't see you.
I think the guy that you guys ran into when you first went down to the prison, like, before you got there.
Oh, yeah, what was down
in
there?
It was just the prison?
No,
there were other things.
There was definitely people in there that we did not go back to when it collapsed.
No. I'm thinking the weapons...
Oh, inside Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah.
Literally, we went in there.
I'm gonna get there.
Just a guy.
Goblet in the rye.
It was literally that guy and all his shit. You guys took a different approach. If you guys came up to him acting like you were lost, because you guys did act like you were lost, but you said he had already been working there.
Yeah.
If you didn't say that, I was gonna have him like put you in the like. The reborn armor and give you like weapons you're not comfortable with and like make you walk out and, like as you guys walk out all like
clunky.
Goofy. he was gonna fully arm you with the incorrect things.
That's awesome.
He would have tried to like for Elias, he was like, bro, you don't need this, and like takes his halberd and gives him like a short sword or something. Like it would have been something completely like fuckery, like to make him real.
You would have gotten violent.
Gotten very violent.
Elias was like, no,
that's like not what I wanted. Like, no, you don't need it, bro.
Yeah, it's not standard issue.
Yeah,
it's not standard issue.
I don't remember where I came up with the idea for Thorn Gravehill.
Oh yeah, your dwarf friend.
The dwarven.
He could have just been a random.
Yeah, I wrote the name down because I thought it was cool, and then I was like, and I even told you guys he works and lives out of the general store.
We never went to the general store. Yeah,
we're like, what's the point? Fuck it.
We got these nifty fruits of support. Yeah. Speaking of inspiration for those.
Oh yeah, those seem like a Mario type thing.
Yeah, I think it was just like, something. I think it was something to just kind of like. You guys could use in random points, and I feel like some of the weird encounters I put for you guys, it would have been funny because like let's say you took it right before the two armored guards fight in the prison,
mm-hmm.
or like right before you guys got to the Roblin fight, and it just goes to waste.
Yeah,
and you're just like. Fuck!
Well, Zara still has hers.
Uh-huh.
And the Potion of Possibility, which no one has used yet.
I also gave I gave mine to you.
Yes.
And I gave my other fruit of support to Siegfried.
Yeah.
So. I keep hitting my laptop. I apologize.
Stick it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I was like, I thought as soon as I gave you guys Sending Stones, I literally intended for Willy to not be there. And I was like, man, if they roll high enough, the stone's going to be there. And I think you guys rolled like 23 or something. You did. And I was like, it's in the alley.
And just for the next couple minutes, just come in. Please stop. You're right next to each other.
The Sending Stones bit is my new favorite bit. Where it's just
you
like,
and Siegfried just over,
like,
over.
Right before the Richard death where you guys are doing that. And Elias goes, I've had enough of these stones. Like, you guys are so irritated.
Which, I also love just for, like, character development reasons because Zaris has such a stick up her ass for, like, most of it. And then she gets this fucking, like, walkie-talkie and she's just like...
The youth?
Over.
And the first time you do it, you're like...
Yeah.
Over.
I know. I can see.
But Siegfried's into
like that
it too.
Both of you guys do it to each other though. We're like, he'll radio to you and you're like, I see that.
My favorite part just out of character was me and James losing it over the Bane thing.
Oh my god.
I've never, like, very rarely have I seen Danny just be like, can we rein it in? Can we pull it together?
He's like, shut the fuck up.
I'm
like,
trying.
Twice in this level has Danny had to go, can you guys pull it together?
James laid it on me, but I blew it on him. That we kept going too.
The second time was only because we were on a time crunch. And I was like, hey, but shut the fuck up. We don't have time. I need to kill Richard!
Which turns out we did have time.
Yeah, but also, like, I wasn't sure how long you guys were gonna fuck with this wall.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to step into that crevice, like...
No!
I mean, just death right above it.
Yeah.
That's why I was, knowing the meta knowledge, kind of, I was trying to, like, because we were also on a time crunch that night.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like, in character, be like, no, Kamara, like, this is me, I know.
I wanted one of you guys to step in there because nothing would have happened. And, like...
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, and, like, the idea of, like...
The light saves.
Yeah, again, the light saves where, like, Roblin shot the light into Richard.
Oh!
I wanted that to be, like, a bigger thing, but it was kind of hard...
To incorporate?
Yeah. And, again, that was one of those things where it was, like, it was the complete opposite. Like, the light fucking kills, man.
No, yeah, and didn't save this time.
Yeah.
You got marked for death, homie.
And then my fucking shenanigan trap tunnels.
Yeah, the tunnel was a... We spent a good minute at that tunnel.
Oh, the ones...
With the sigils all around?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the rotating hexagon one, I was like, this is going to be really hard to figure out.
I love, like, brain games like that because it really is just, like... How dumb.
How dumb apparently, can I be?
Very.
Well, because we were all just like, what if we do this? What if we do this? And then it's just like, what if we just like completely sidestep it and just fucking fly across? And it's just like, what if I waste, what's Dimension Door? Like a third level spell?
Dimension Door is fourth level
spell. Fourth level,
and
yeah.
You can only take one other person away.
What if I waste a fourth level spell slot? To sidestep this quest.
I was ready for it. Like,
well, because, like, Dimension Door, it's a fourth level spell slot. It's 500 feet. We were trying to go, like, 20.
I mean, I was just ready to not deal with it.
Like, you were so for it, too. Yeah. You were just like, well, you're like, you know, I'm just going to Dimension Door. Whoever wants to come with me can come with me. Look, and I was just like, oh my God.
Let me tell you, me and Danny have been playing together a long time.
That was so, definitely Dad, like, I'll turn this car around.
Yeah, yeah, just.
Yeah, we're having fun, damn it!
We're going to Disney World, and we're going to like it. Hold your pee, another 10 miles. Oh, shit. I have to pee. Hold it.
Get a bottle. There's bathroom at the gate.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We're gonna be there at rope drop. God damn it.
I did like that. I got to play with everybody's backstory a little bit in this one, and a little more than I think, again, because we knew this was going to be a longer set of episodes for this level, that I had that grace period to kind of like touch on Zaris, touch on Richards, fuck with Elias a little bit. Siegfried finds out who's responsible partially for his death, but he still has a hit on him.
Yeah,
so that was fun.
Oh, definitely a good level. I think thus far, the campaign is really fleshing out. Like, I think I was talking to Alex about it the other day. I think we're hitting our stride right now.
Yeah.
So
I think I was telling you about it too, where I was like, I feel like the last couple of episodes, like, I feel like have consistently, I'm just like, I feel fucking good about this shit. Like,
just quality, the role play, the encounters, everything's been good.
Well, it's been flowing too, and like, even on the editing side, like, I haven't edited that. I don't cut out that much anymore. Like, of course, hey, what are you going to do next? Like, you kind of, like, you have a thought process. But, like, we'll start doing things. And, like, we have more or less an idea of what we want to do. And especially in role play situations, we're not, like, waiting for people to talk. People just start talking. And I'm like, cool, I can walk away for five minutes because I know it's a good conversation. Like,
yeah. And I think that's just one of the things about, like, podcasting in general, especially, like, because I was talking about it and I was talking about this to Marcus, actually, where it's just, like, before this, none of us played together. So, like, to immediately jump into not only podcasting but a whole new campaign, like, of course it's going to take us some time for all of us to kind of, like, feel each other out and figure out, like, what the vibe is. Okay.
Okay.
Zaris. Okay.
Hey, I'm dead. Leave me alone.
I'll bring you back.
Force Ghost Richard.
I swear to God, you guys bring Force Ghost Richard somewhere and be like, I wasn't ready for this. I thought I was permadead.
Just level of madness where we
just start seeing like, Richard.
Somebody fucking hallucinates. Aww. Horse ghost Richard.
That's not scary.
That's terrifying. But yeah, I was talking to Marcus about it because he was just like, "Have you guys all played together before this?" And I was just like, "No, we literally just like assembled different friend groups and was just like, do you want to play in a D&D podcast? Do you want to play in a D&D podcast?" And it just happened to work out. But look
at the group we got. Fantastic. Yeah.
No, we have a fucking phenomenal group.
We struggled a bit for casting. We were like, fuck. Because we had people, like, at least I know Ruben and I, like, we had people tell us, like, oh, yeah, I'm down. And we're like, all right, here's how often we want to play. We're going to record, you know, two and a half hour sessions and edit down to two. But, like, you have to be willing to, like, get used to this recording schedule. And as soon as they heard that, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll let you know. And then we never hear from them again.
Right, yeah. So I was also talking to Marcus about that, where it's, like, getting someone to commit to a podcast. Like, everyone wants to, like, maybe this is too much of a peek behind the curtain, but, like...
Get out of here. It's my curtain.
But everyone wants to do a podcast, but once, like, they realize, like, the time commitment, like, it becomes, like, it's daunting. Like, mm-hmm. And I don't blame anyone for, like, being like, oh, like, I can't do that. Like, I remember, like, when we were first talking about starting this whole shindig, where it's just like, no, like, you do not understand me. Like, I am, like, I'm asking for, like, this time, this commitment. And it's just like, you have to be willing to put that forward, mm-hmm. or else it's gonna fucking fail.
Well, I think that was, like, again, not to get too, like, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. Like, when I started doing Hops and Notes, I had originally told you, hey, I'm gonna do this weekly. And then I realized, holy fuck, this is very hard. And so I said, I'm gonna do it bi-weekly instead. It gives me a little more time. I could, like, spend a little more time just doing my research on it and mm-hmm. fucking around like that. But, like, same. I have a few friends who've, like, they've started podcasts, and they'll reach out to me, and I was like, dude, don't reach out to me. I haven't been doing this long. And I was like, the only thing I can tell you is that it takes a lot more time than you think. Editing's a bitch. And, like, I mean, I don't think it's hard. I personally do enjoy doing it. I know fucking Ruben enjoys doing it. But, like...
when I have the time.
Yeah, when he has the time. And, like, because he does, like, because, you know, just putting the music behind his stuff, and, like, I appreciate that. But, like... people forget that kind of work goes into it. And a lot of people assume it's a one-and-done take kind of thing. And it's absolutely never not. Like that. Yeah. Like, the amount of times... I mean, even, like doing Horrible Peoples with you, where, like, we'll start talking, like, let me do that again. And, like, immediately, like, dude, do a take, man. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be perfect. Just edit.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. No kidding.
I went through perfect.
But, no, and...
Nice. Oh, I got a shot. No,
happy 4th of July. Woo! I lost my train of thought. But yeah, no, podcasting.
Just, time.
Yeah, it's a time commitment, and a lot of people don't realize just how much fucking time it is.
I am fucking loving it.
I do think that's, like, back to the original part of this, where, like, we lucked out with James and Connor, where they're like, they were down. And they've been having fun mm-hmm. with us and, like, playing, and, like, they're actually enjoying their time here. So it's becoming not, like, a chore, really, to, like, tell them, hey, we want to record this day. It's more of a, we're adults and we need to figure out when we're free. Yeah. But that's normal.
I mean, scheduling is, like, the biggest bane of any D&D fucking experience ever.
IRL, yeah.
Yeah, where it's just, like, getting everyone's schedules together is always going to fucking blow, mm-hmm. so...
But they do want to be here, and, like, that's the great part. It's like, everybody wants to be here. We all want to do this. It's just sometimes scheduling sucks. It is what it is.
Yeah, but...
James and Connor have been troopers, mm-hmm. rolling with the punches and everything. I know, like, again, like we said, we know generally what's going to happen, but them being the... We picked two solid staples as far as our regular PCs.
Absolutely. So I think we have a good crew, guys.
Hell yeah!
I think we're getting close to the end. Any final thoughts or questions before we wrap this up?
Can we get a little preview for what's coming up next, Ruben?
Yeah, I will go ahead and give you the name of the next level. The next level is represented by the idea of pestilence. you will be walking into a place called Gorsana.
Gorsana.
Oh, it sounds gross.
Yeah. Hey, we're going back very medieval gothic architecture. We're going into, like, think, I don't want to say one for one, but think very Black Plague-y.
Nice. So, I like it. I like that a lot.
All right.
I do have one question.
Yeah, go for it.
It's for you guys, but also for people listening. What did you guys think of the Dice of Death and Dismemberment?
Yes!
Yeah, from Deck and Dice. Yeah. My man lost a finger.
I honestly do like the idea, because I told Alex, for some reason I couldn't find my backpack for a long time that I had the dice in. Finally found it, pulled the dice out. I like the idea of, like, maybe we leave the set in the middle, or the DM holds it. Mm-hmm. And then it's the idea of, like, if we roll a nat 20, we either choose the double damage or we do something like that. Mm-hmm. But also as a punishment, the way I was using it were for the nat one and the one underneath, instead of kind of like, you know, like I did with Elias, where he misses with his sword, but if he rolled like low enough, he was going to hit Amon.
Yeah.
Like that kind of idea. So like we can either choose like, oh, we're going to flavor the problem, or you lose a finger.
Yeah.
But also, those dice have, like, the possibility of an insta-kill, because there's, like, a behead option.
There's a few, yeah.
Like, they're, like, which is terrifying also for, like, us as players.
Yeah, it's four d12s, and I think, like, because, so that's what I was doing as the DM, where I was like, okay, he's not, like, gonna kill himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little out of the question here. And so I was kind of like, yeah.
Himself. No.
Yeah,
no.
Like, I wasn't gonna let that happen. So I was looking at him and, like, placing him around. Like, if he was low enough on HP, I might have thrown that one in there. But, like, he was pretty stacked.
Yeah, throw all four of them and pick the one you think fits flavor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the rest of the series around somewhere. I have to look for them.
There's some in here.
I have one, and that's the critical hit for arrows. Ooh. Because
I have Ranger. I have the one for dragons.
Yes, you have the dragons one.
Which could be fun, because
dragon!
One thing, I don't think we did it in yours or mine, but we did say it happens less once we go up, but mm-hmm. Like, one day I'll just...
Definitely a pest for level one.
Just...
Yeah.
Fuck!
Alex, you got anything else?
No, that's it. I'm excited for our next level.
Excellent. Like I said, hyped. Next level, Gorsana. What is in store for our senders then?
What's in store in Gorsana?
So, with that, let's close it out. Again, my name is Ruben. I am back at the DM table. Prepare to feel some pain.
Ooh!
If you want to find me anywhere, I'm on Instagram at RECMatrix. I am the blue collar sad boy. If you like music, raccoons, working out, playing with fire, or any other random things, go ahead and look me up. If you don't, then yeah, it's okay. Danny, where can the people find you?
I enjoy arson. You guys can find
me... That's an isolating sentence.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, that is a joke.
You can find me on Instagram at Wrathchild714. I have another podcast on the Horrible People's Network called Hops and Notes.
Yeah.
It's Hops and Notes on Instagram. Hops and Notes Pod? Hops and Notes Pod. Thank you, super producer, for the
Alex
assist.
Webster.
Yeah, but Ruben and Alex both come out a few times. I think when
I
this
already
come...
came out, thank you.
Nice.
Ah!
Oh my god. I was yelling at her.
I'll go at home.
I was yelling at her for going to Chick-fil-A today, and I was like, you're killing your father!
People can't know my personal shame,
she's
okay?
Doing it.
That wasn't very bi of you, Alex.
And then I said, her, just summer on you, just summer on your cow.
Listen, I...
It just happened to work. But anyway, they're both on there. It's about beer and music. I get them both pretty drunk. The reason why Ruben is currently drinking IPAs, you're welcome, world.
I don't know if it's good for the world, but here I am.
Disgusting. Yeah. You both disgust me.
I'm enjoying myself.
Anyway,
and how much I hate myself.
Alex.
Hello.
Hello.
You can find me on Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. What do I do on Instagram? I just post stuff. It's fine.
Fallout Boy.
Yeah. you can follow my other podcast, the Horrible People's Podcast, which is a weekly horror movie podcast. It's super duper fun.
It is super duper fun.
And Danny has been on it.
Hell yeah.
Ruben will soon be on it.
Will I?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay.
And,
oh shit.
And you can follow. You can check that out on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. Mm. All of the podcasts previously mentioned are under the Horrible People's Network, which we have a ton of super pop culture relevant podcasts for you to follow. We got Hops and Notes. We got Horrible People's Podcast. Yeah. We got NPC Podcast, and of course we have Turning Tables Podcast. So if you want to check out all of our podcast offerings, we are also on Instagram at Horrible People's Network, which is HORRORBLE People's Network.
Really quick, could you plug the Turning Tables Instagram? Because I forgot to do it on the last episode.
I also don't know it because I'm dumb.
Our Instagram for Turning Tables is Turning Tables Pod.
Hell yeah. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Yes, tell your friends.
Tell your wife.
Tell your mom.
Tell your side piece.
Tell your...
That was like one of my proudest moments as I was screaming that.
Tell your side chick.
You could hear the shame at the table.
One of us was like, I don't think I should.
So on that note, Ruben.
Excellent. Hey, well, next time we will see you on the level of Gorsana.
Woo, good job, Danny.
Hell yeah, clickety-clackety. Ooh, 17 and 18.
Hey, I got 17 too.
I got an 8.